I had this idea, being a naive sort of person, that because I'd cheerfully shrugged off not just heterosexuality but heteropatriarchy, in which I was expected to dress a certain way and look a certain way and act a certain way, I assumed that my appearance and my difference would be not a problem. And then I found that it was, which I never understood then and I refuse to tolerate now. I had long hair and didn't get it cut. I felt that certainly there was pressure on me from the Manchester Rape Crisis type to adopt a very, I'm sorry, stereotypical view of what, you know, lesbians are supposed to look like. And it came from this idea of, like, you know, we're trying to recreate something that doesn't conform to the heteropatriarchal view of femininity. Fine if that's what you want to do, but I don't. I want to grow my hair long because that's how I like my hair, thank you very much. I was possessed of large boobs. And it was very much this idea of, like, well, don't wear a bra, strap them down, keep them down, don't flaunt them. I've never understood it because I thought, well, hang on a minute. If I'm a lesbian, doesn't that mean that I find other women's bodies attractive and therefore I might actually like breasts? So why should I hide them? Some of the politics was crap. Some of it was wonderful. I'm not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater because there was some good stuff. Brown Miller, for example, her book about rape, which was the first book to actually present the idea that rape was an act of power rather than an act of sex. The stuff I do object with is what people in the later 80s, like Andrea Dworkin, did with rape. It was the idea that you change something which is actually very sensible, like rape is an act of power, to something like men have power, therefore all men are rapists. What really, really pisses me off now is to hear some of the late 80s feminists going, oh, well, we never said all men were rapists. Yes, you did. I was there. One of the reasons why I actually left the Rape Crisis Collective, so I don't know if you remember or have heard of Viraj Mendis. He was an asylum seeker from Ceylon, Sri Lanka, and he was a Tamil. And it was pretty, pretty clear that if he went back to Sri Lanka, he would be killed within minutes of getting off the plane. And so he was the last person in the UK to go into sanctuary. And he lived in Hume, in the Church of the Ascension. And there was a lot of political activity around him, what it's actually like to be an asylum seeker, what it's like to be a refugee, the realities of people's lives if they go back. On one of the marches, Rape Crisis was invited. And the collective decided that Rape Crisis wouldn't go on the march, because Viraj Mendis was a man. Other political stuff started to come out. And the more I was coming out about stuff around myself, because then it felt like I was the only lesbian goth in the world, the more difficult it got. I had the temerity to wear leather trousers to an event once, and there were women who actually went and sat on the other side of the room because they felt terribly oppressed to look at my leather trousers. Not because of vegetarianism. It was because clearly, if I wore leather trousers, that meant I was a Nazi, and it meant I was into sadomasochism. And of course, Nazi and sadomasochism are entirely the same thing. The political line was sadomasochism is abuse. Being kinky is abusive. I struggle with that because I'm kinky. And there was no way in the late 80s I could be out about it. Not all of 80s feminism was bad. The bits that I experienced that were bad were because, you know, I was radical. I was different. And I bumped up against a lot of the stuff that said, but you can't be.
When did you start performing?
I performed all the way through the 80s. I was involved in a lesbian cabaret band, and I was in a goth band, as I said. And then I started to get involved in, I was part of an open mic night set up for women in the early 90s, which was at Follies. We called it The Launch, and it was an open mic thing for women to come and just try out poetry or songs or comedy or whatever. And that's where I started to do emceeing and comparing, and I sort of, like, learned my trade by experience.
And how do you introduce yourself when you come on stage now?
Now, Rosie Lugosi the Vampire Queen, or Rosie Lugosi the Lesbian Vampire Queen, or Rosie Lugosi the Radical Lesbian Feminist Separatist Bitch Goddess Dominatrix Top Femme Vampire Queen. From Rosie Lugosi was a nickname given to me by an ex-girlfriend. She said, you do realise we call you Rosie Lugosi because I've always been into vampires and goth and all the rest of it. And I went, oh, brilliant, I'll have that. And it's like, yeah, I do see myself as a radical lesbian feminist. Most radical lesbian feminists hate it when I say I am because I don't fit in. But that's my attitude of radical. I don't do it to be difficult. I do it just because the way I am. Separatist is a bit of a joke. Dominatrix because I dress up. Top femme, as in I'm a top as opposed to a bottom in SM terms. Femme, I'm femme identified. Bitch goddess, well, that stands for itself. Vampire queen from